Hello, this is Heaton.
And this is Stelly.
On the Startup Chat, today we're going to talk about how to worry in business the right way. I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah.
We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah. We want you to do your best.
Yes. So why did we want to talk about worry?
Yeah, so we've been doing some Q&A sessions and some deeper things at a conference called MicroComp, and we got a lot of questions where I think Stelly and I would be like, why are you worried about that, right? Yeah. Like we would have that statement, and then we even started talking to people and trying to help them work through what they're worrying about and how to worry about the right things.
Yeah. So it's interesting. There's this quote, and since we decided to do an episode on worry, I tried to look it up, but I couldn't do it fast enough. So I'm going to butcher it. But it's something along the lines of, the worries of today are basically not helping you with your problems of tomorrow. They're just robbing you of your resources and resourcefulness, right?
Right.
So, and I've said many times to people that if worrying and stressing out about things was productive, I'd be like the most successful human on this planet and be all for it. But I've tried it in all kinds of forms and facets. It's just not that productive.
It's the least productive thing to do.
Right. It really is. Because in itself, worry combines one part of worrying, in my mind, is positive, which is it is typically a manifestation of some type of critical thinking. You're spotting a problem, right? That's a good thing.
So that can be a good thing. You're almost suggesting if you're worrying, the solution isn't to ignore it.
No.
Okay.
Right. So I think the positive part of the worry puzzle is that there is something that bothers you. There's a problem or something you see on the horizon. So you shouldn't ignore that.
So double down on it almost.
Yes. But there's this other component on worry. Worry in itself as a word is very non-proactive. Like when I say I worry about something, you know I'm not doing anything about it.
Yeah, it's like saying I'm thinking.
Yes.
It doesn't really mean anything.
It definitely means that there's no action that follows
that's
typically,
correct.
Right? And that's why, and it usually also means some type of internal conflict.
Yeah.
Like, worry is not like when you take action on something, you're not worried about it, right?
Right. You're in the middle of it. You're doing what you do.
You might think this is a problem, so I'm thinking about it or I'm attacking it. But worrying means that there's some internal conflict, some back and forth, and some lack of clarity on what the next action should be or if you should take action. I think that's why it's such a unproductive activity if you do it at long stretch of times, especially for business owners, entrepreneurs, startups, where you really are, you know, at the mercy of making decisions and acting on these decisions really fast. So let's talk about maybe first, let's talk about one of the types of worry that I think people need to just stop doing, which is worrying about future problems, especially problems that are very much like not in the immediate future, as in like tomorrow or next week, but in a year, once we've scaled to thousands of employees, I worry that our legal structure and the way that our org chart is set up today is not sufficient. Like worrying about bullshit problems, about problems that you don't have today, you won't have tomorrow. And so it's not the right time to worry about them. Why do so many people, we had at least, you know, three people where the answer was, why the hell do you worry about this right now?
Yeah.
Why do people do this and how can we help people stop from doing this? So do you do this at all? Do you find yourself having that issue of like worrying about things that are way in advance and not the right problems?
Yeah. You know, one thing I was going to say is like, you only want to worry about the things you can actually control.
Yeah.
Right. At least I'm not saying worry about all those things.
Yeah.
It's just like that's the realm of worthiness of your time of worrying about something. So for me, what happens is if I start worrying about something, I'm immediately like, wait, hold on. Is there anything you're going to like this because I know you love action, but it's like, what can I do about this? And if the answer is nothing, I literally am done worrying about it.
Mm.
I'm just done. I force myself. It comes up. I'm like, wait, I already decided. There's nothing I could do about this. I'm not going to worry about it.
Right.
And usually it's like in anticipation, I am worrying, right? Mm. Like I'm talking, you know, this is an interesting one, but everyone will understand the pressure. I'm talking to a bunch of investors. I've had one or two meetings with all of them. Who's going to give me money? Am I going to get money?
Uh-huh.
What's going to happen? How much is it going to be? What's the valuation going to be? Are they going to have these weird rules in there, you know, in the term sheet, or these weird things in the term sheet that make me, you know, whatever. I'm like, wait, hold on. Like if someone came to me like that, I'm like, wait, hold on. Do you have a term sheet yet? Nope. All right. Then your only goal is getting to a term sheet.
Yes.
Right. And so I think people tend to worry about these things that they clearly cannot control, but they will clearly be an issue that will come up at some point, but not yet. So it's almost like I want to tell people like, hey, no, that's not a worry yet.
Yeah.
Let's worry about something else.
Yeah. I think potentially because, you know, as you're running a business, you have to allocate your resources, your time, and your energy really wisely. You have to prioritize. We've talked about focus. So you can't worry about what's going to happen, you know, 2 weeks from now, and at the same time, take action on what needs to happen today or the issue that is at hand today.
Right.
And you need to be able to compartmentalize that way where you go, I had all these investor meetings. Huh, I'm wondering what will the terms be? Who's going to come back? What's going to happen? But then you have to stop yourself and go, well, can I do something about it right now? No. So since I can't do anything about it, I'm going to put this in this box until next week when I hear back from them. And what do I need to do now? Right now, I need to talk to this new employee and make sure they're productive and like completely forget about this investor thing, right? And you really need to cultivate that skill.
Now, the consideration there is you can't completely get something out of your head if you're literally convinced you're worrying about it.
Mm.
So with that, I think it's super hard for people to stop worrying about something without knowing the next action to take about that thing. Right. So when I'm really worrying and I can't get it out of my head, it's just simply because I don't know what I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what the next milestone is. Mm. And so in the fundraising, I keep coming back to, well, most of the things people worry about on that are based on a term sheet.
Yeah.
Because the term sheet determines everything, right? Terms, valuation. And so, you know, in almost any scenario, it's like, oh, I'm worried we're not going to make sales next quarter.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do about it? Is probably what you would say.
Yeah.
Right. So I think there's always a next action to anything like that before you can get rid of it from your head.
Yeah, so you can
ask. Doesn't mean you have to do it right away.
Yeah, but you can ask yourself, what is the next action item? And it might just be, well, the next thing that needs to happen is probably for me to follow up with the investors if I don't hear by X.
Yep.
And then you put that in your calendar and it's done. That's the next action item, right? Mm-hmm. There's this funny little line, you know, from some kind of Buddhist whatever, monk or something, where somebody asked him about worrying and he asked the person, basically there's two things you can do. He asked the person about the problem and then he said, well, let me ask you this. Can you do something about this? And the person said, yes. Okay, then there's no need to worry. And, you know, next time it comes around, the person has again a problem and he tells him about all these worries and the Buddhist monk goes again, can you do something about it?
Yeah.
And the person goes, no. And the monk says, well, then there's no reason to worry about it. Right? So like in Buddhist philosophy, either you can do something about it, then you'll go do it.
Yeah.
If you can, then you can. There's no reason to worry, yeah. Right? Because it's not helping. It's not making any difference. Yeah. But especially interesting to me, I think that this is more... So what we're talking about is more like the person that's worrying about something that's maybe a few weeks, you know, a few months in advance of their future. They know they're going to have to deal with this. And it's about like, how do you compartmentalize or how do you prioritize, how you take action, how do you deal with that? But then there's these other people, a good amount of the people that we said, why are you worrying about this? They didn't have 10 investor meetings and they were worrying about the terms. They had no investor meetings and they were like, before I start fundraising, how can I make sure that I get the best terms from the type of investors that I really like?
Yeah.
You know, and Heaton's giving me a big smile. That's the, you worry about problems you most likely will never have.
Yep.
Probably because you have the habit of worrying about things that are not happening.
Yep.
Right? Or overthinking things.
Yep.
When we're so successful, how are we going to deal with X, Y, and Z?
It doesn't matter. You might never get there. That's the worst kind, right?
Yeah. The most likely scenario is you will not get there. So worrying about it today is probably part of the problem why you're never going to get there. It's the type of thinking that keeps you in... Like in your head versus in the real world taking action.
So that almost feels like there's a few patterns of worry.
Yeah. Right?
Like one is like worrying about something that's so far out, it might not happen.
Yeah.
Which is the one I think you alluded to or pointed to, which is great. Then there's the one of like, I'm just nervous. I feel like a lot of the ones, like, you're almost there.
Yeah.
You're just nervous. You're just nervous about these things. And a lot of times they aren't in your control and someone else is going to come back. Like, I love your investor one. Like, it's funny. Like, when you were talking about the investor one, you're almost, you know, like, they were almost there and they've got these meetings. You said, oh, you, if they don't follow up with you, you should follow up with them. I would have just said, well, it's not under your control. Like, you have to wait till they email you, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But you still had a next action.
Right.
Right. Which I think is way better. So I think those are just like, you're just nervous about something. You're anxious about something. It's not the same kind of worry as like the previous one. So I'm wondering if there's other types of worrying in business that we can point out.
So the third one that came immediate to mind is when there is a problem in the here and now, and it's not outside your control. You just don't know what to do, or you know what to do and you don't want to do it.
Yeah. I have one tactic there, and it's simply just get information.
Yeah.
Because if I don't know something, it means I don't have information.
Mm.
So then it's like, who do I talk to? What do I do? Right. And sometimes those worries are actually longer term, right? Because they might be just something you're working on and you're just nervous about it. Again, I go back to that.
Yeah.
But it's a worry, right?
Okay.
And so I think the best thing to do in that case is just like, what's my way of getting information so I can get clarity about this worry or this situation? And once you have the clarity, then you might even find that next action. And then you're done. You're not worried about it.
So let me ask you on this, because part of me wants to challenge that, because I think in some cases it's information, but in most cases it's not that I'm missing data. It's that I'm lacking the emotional state to act on it. So let's say there's somebody on your team, it's not working out, but it's like your best friend, or it's somebody, whatever, for whatever reason, it doesn't seem straightforward to, you know, part ways in the relationship. A lot of people, a lot of founders will worry for a certain period of time. Sometimes it's weeks, days, sometimes it's months or years about how to like separate from that person.
Yeah.
But they, because there's all these pro and cons, and they know they should do it, but it really feels like a difficult thing to do.
I don't know how to get over the emotion, but I
would you still act on like get more information? Can that still be a way to get over the emotion?
Something similar, but not the same.
Okay.
So I think the get more information is more like, I just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Right? Here, it's not I don't know what to do. I actually know what to do.
Mm.
I just don't want to do it.
Mm.
And for me, the don't want to do it is more like, okay, you have to start. I believe you have to, if in that specific situation, when it's about somebody else that you're really worried about, right? In the sense of like, how are they going to feel? What am I going to do? And it's very emotional. Try to just separate the emotion from the logic. The logic is like, if that person continues here, all these other things are not going to get done. They're going to get done wrong. They're going to get done too slow. Other people might leave. Other people on the team might even be impacted.
Yeah.
Right. All those things are not what most people are worried about. Instead, they're worried about the conversation with the person and how they're going to break it to the person. So that to me is a very simple business case. Because of your contributions here or lack of contributions here, our business will not be able to do what we need to do. I don't believe you are the person that can do this. Right. So that is to me information in your own head about like, why am I feeling the way I am about even just letting go of the person, right? And if you can quantify that, then at least that's out of the way and say, okay, there's a bunch of business reasons, right? That this person cannot continue. Then you can hopefully work on the emotion. And then it's more about breaking it to the person. Because once you've done the sort of business issues, I think it becomes clear to you that in a different way, that like this person will just not work it. Like you have to have confidence that like you're making the right decision before you go actually deal with your emotion about having to deal with the person. But that's what I found most effective.
I'm wondering,
it's almost like sterilize it from the emotion first.
Yeah.
And then add the emotion back in.
Yeah. I mean, it's also interesting, like, what is the difference between worry about something you have encountered before versus worry about something you've never encountered, right? And I do think that like confidence plays a part in this, in terms of even when you don't know if you made the right decisions in the past, if you've gone through something, you just tend to have a bit more of an internal compass or the confidence to act on something because you've gone through this experience before, versus people, and this is probably the type of people that we interact with that express worry to us, people that haven't gone through some experience before, they just tend to worry about it in different ways because there's also a big lack of confidence. Like, even if I've gathered information and I think I now know what to do, I'm still not sure if I'm on the right track because I've never done this before, right? And there's like, is there a way around this? Is there a hack? How do you get experience other than like overcoming whatever?
Yeah, there is a hack. It's a mental hack.
Go for it.
And I use it a lot on people that tell me things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so the hack is help them remember a time when they've done something just as hard. That's it.
I like it.
It takes work.
Yeah.
You have to talk to them.
Yeah.
But like when someone tells me this is my first time or I haven't done it, like I try to go there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, not even that. It's just like, I haven't done it before. I don't know what I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. It's like, wait, are you saying, like, if you want to be really flippant, are you saying you don't know how to breathe? Because like, you figured that. What? Wait, you didn't even figure that out. You know? Yeah. That means there's something in you that just, well, you'll figure it out, right? So it's the confidence boost is reminding them of something hard they did.
Yeah.
That's the simple hack. It's not even a hack. It's just like, it's human.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you get them to a place where they're like, oh yeah, I've done something hard like that before. Well, then this is silly. Like every time I have a business failure now, I'm like, oh yeah, I lost $1 million before. And I cried about it. Yeah. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
We're good. Wouldn't cry again. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
so if that, yeah, of course. And this is, you know, we've talked about our children and like what builds character and some of the challenges. And, you know, you go through, the only way to build kind of that level of strength is to make a lot of hard choices and make some mistakes along the way and overcome and survive those. And that builds that memory and the muscle memory of, I've done really hard things that I didn't know how to do. Some worked out, some didn't. But over a long enough period of time, it all kind of working out.
That's well, right. Yeah. Right.
So you get that confidence just making a call and moving forward. Well,
it's like, wasn't your first day of college scary? Like, I'm just saying, for anybody, right? Yeah. Anybody that went to college, it'd be like, oh yeah, it was scary as shit. I had to make friends and this. I'm like, well, what are you doing now? Like, how is it more scary than that? Right?
Think about it, even nicer is when you push it back to like, think about first day of kindergarten.
Yeah.
It's something that seemed terrifying, but with enough distance and perspective, you go, this was nothing.
That's right.
It was a place you played with toys all day. Like, well, in that moment, it seemed like everything. And today, certain things that will seem like they are everything, probably with enough time and distance, they will seem insignificant. You know, it's very rarely that something is truly like life-altering important.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, all right. So, any more tips about worrying the right way or worrying about the right things? How about worrying about the right things? We talked a little bit about like long-term things that never happen.
Yeah.
You know, things that you have a little bit control over or no control over, and things that are happening today. You have control over what you are internally conflicted or don't want to take action or whatever else is stopping you from them. But are there better problems? What are the best problems to worry about when you're in business versus bad problems? I think bad problems we already touched on, which are problems you don't have and you won't have anytime near. But what are really good things to worry about? Or should you not worry about anything?
I think short-term things that are like short-term goals, objectives, short-term meaning days, weeks, hours, might be worth worrying about.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, if you don't worry about the thing immediately, you might just drag it out too long. So a good one there is, and this is the impulse I have now, it's very hard to do, and it's back to the original thing, one of the original ones he said, but it's like, if there's someone on your team and you know you're going to have to let them go, there's already a lot of emotion, regardless of whether they're your best friend or not, for most people, right? Yeah. So in that scenario, for me, it's like the immediate time I have that worry, I'm going to double down on that worry, like we talked about. And I think it's a good worry because I should be worrying about human beings and, you know, breaking it to them that they're no longer here or figuring out how to make them happy and make, you know, the company successful. And so I think that's a healthy worry, worrying about that. But like, if you go worry about that for more than days, maybe hours, and don't do anything about it, I think it turns into a worry that's probably unproductive.
Yeah.
So I think one way to define it when I think about this is there's productive ways to worry.
Yeah.
And there's unproductive ways, and it might not be situational. I would say it's more time. At least that's my personal preference, is that if I'm going to worry, I am going to make sure I worry for the shortest amount of time. And if that means it's the shortest amount of focus time, if that means that I'm driving like people crazy for about an hour, I'm okay with that. Right? Because I've had to do that before where like I had to call a meeting in the company. And for an hour, I was driving people crazy. Right? But I had no choice because we had a crisis.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I like the time perspective because I do think that you know, worrying needs to have a very kind of short shelf life. Like you want to do it,
I like
but
that.
The moment it The moment you can articulate, I've been worrying about this for months, there's a problem,
yes,
or even weeks.
That's like a tell. So, both of those. Yeah. I've been worrying for too long. Whoa, okay, right? Stop. Let's go.
So worrying, I think should be something that's restricted to days at best, right? If you can do hours, awesome.
Great.
But if you can do days and you can look back at like the last year and no worry you had, you carried around for more than a few days, you're probably already, you know, like you could identify somebody's place and how successful they are probably just on that.
Yeah.
Like you look at how long they worry about things and you probably could say something about them.
Yeah, right? That's right.
It's not all the signal you need.
But it's a lot. It's a lot of data there. Yeah.
But the other thing that I would say is the one thing that I like to do, and I do it inconsistently, and it's something that I'm going to do more consistently moving forward, is worrying about meta things, right? So there's worry about the day in, day out, somebody has a problem, something broke, we messed something up, those like the realities. But then there is there's things to worry about. But one of my favorite worry is, what am I not worrying about? Right? What is a blind spot we have that I'm not aware of? Or I remember, you know, we made when we were running Elastic Sales, for the biggest amount of time, we were running it with a horrible business model. And then we switched and made a massive difference, but it was kind of late. And to me, that switch and the impact it has was so huge that I was like, what else are we not thinking about clearly enough that if we change it, it would like 5x the business in a month? Like what? Like, everybody was so happy about the positive impact of the change. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, What else are we missing out on? What did I get wrong?
Right? Yeah. What else are we getting wrong?
I do that all the time after a breakthrough. I'm like, whoa. Shit. Let me find another one.
Yes, let me find another
one. Did you find another one? Just kidding.
Well, yes or no.
Sometimes it's tough.
But that's kind of an interesting mind game to play of like, huh. And it comes more from a place of curiosity.
Yeah.
Than it comes from a place of negativity or concern, right?
Yeah.
It's more like, huh, I wonder what are we totally like oblivious about that's a big opportunity right in front of us, or that is a huge issue that's going to get us into trouble and we're just all blind to it. What could that be if I wanted to entertain that thought? I think that is kind of a intellectual, long-term thinking, curiosity-based worry that's actually kind of productive, can be productive. Not if you do it all day long, but if you do it kind of semi-regularly, I think it's a healthy thing.
Yeah.
Also organizationally, if you cultivate that type of thinking, I think it's a healthy thing.
What should I be worrying about right now?
What should we be worrying about right now?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
So that you can get ahead of these things materializing and manifesting and then being short-term problems you worry about versus things you caught super early because you were just anticipating, right? It's another way of anticipating. It's like, what should we worry about? What could become a problem that we're not aware of right now?
Yep.
Or what is an opportunity that we're not taking advantage of? And all right. So I think that's it from our side.
Yeah.
And we gave a ton of tips. The whole episode was full of tips.
Yeah.
So that's it. Hey, if you're not already part of the Facebook group, we want you to be part of it. And then we might change everything about it. That's what we do. We experiment. So make sure to go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook and join the group. I had a bunch of conversations the other days. We're in this conference with 250 people, of which 200 are listeners of the podcast.
Yeah, it looks like that for sure.
Yeah, so it's a unique experience of talking
really
to all
these,
to all of you and lots of people that listen. And a bunch of people told us, I had somebody yesterday tell me that when he goes to Facebook and he searches for us, it always leads him to the page, which makes him feel like this podcast is dead because the Facebook page, we're not doing
it. Maybe we didn't work on the page.
We didn't work on the page at all. It's all in the group.
We'll work on that.
Right? So we'll work on that.
We got some stuff to do.
So if you get to the page accidentally, make sure you're seeing the group. But the best way to do that is thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook. And then we'll hear you very soon.
And I got a quick bonus.
Oh, yeah. Bonus. Bonus time.
Don't worry. Be happy.
Listen to that song right after this podcast. It'll make the world a better place. All right. We'll hear you very soon.